Trigger warning, Death and Friends is not a podcast for the light of heart. Many dark and serious subjects will come up. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey team, Nash here. This, Angel.
Hello there.
It's time for another bummer of an episode.
No worries. It's still gonna be weird.
I like being weird. Weird is all we've got. That and these suspenders.
That being said, it has a, quotes, relatively, quote, happy, quote, ending.
Happy ending?
No.
It's another episode where Angel loses the shit, but this time, he channeled the energy pretty well. No banana peels, anyway.
Yeah, don't worry, though. There will still be jokes and some facts, and facts that will mess with Nash.
What?
Greatly.
What?
Yeah. Ready for this?
Yeah.
We've been pronouncing Brendan Fraser wrong. It's actually Brendan Fraser with a Z. Zer.
What? Fraser?
Fraser, that's right.
No, I'm sorry. This is just a fact that I reject.
Told you to figure out. Roll the tape!
All right. Here we go.
Death comes for us all. You might as well make it your friend.
Your friend!
With us on Death and Friends.
Hello, Skeleton Army. My name is Angel, and this person who thought the word mariposa was a Spanish dessert is Nash.
I mean, in fairness, I'd eat a butterfly.
Hey, and in fairness, you're gross. Today's episode of Death and Friends is part of an unofficial series in relation to revolutions and overall crappiness by Ye Olde USA.
It surprisingly has a lot to do with our previous episode this season, which is zombies. As it turns out, colonialism, bad.
What?
And also, it technically never stopped and led to the events in this episode.
So, it'll be a super lighthearted event. Paint the picture, Nash.
The Dominican Republic. You hear about this?
Oh, boy.
The neighbor to the east of Haiti has a whole lot of history before the era that we're speaking about in this episode.
Haiti was colonized by the French, but the Dominican Republic was colonized by the Spanish. Well, a couple other places just like Haiti, but mostly the Spanish. Specifically, it was discovered by this one guy that people claim is like super important, but actually isn't. What's his name? Hang on, let me check my notes here. Yeah. Hang
on. It says garbage man.
Yep. Hang on.
Oh, thesaurus. I'm sorry, it was upside down.
No. Hang on. Let me check the thesaurus synonyms. Yep. Christopher Columbus.
Aww. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Fuck you in hell, Christopher Columbus. He renames it Hispaniola because why not? Just why not?
Yeah. He was just like, this is now Hispaniola. And everybody was like, why? He just is now.
Fucking why not?
Quick reminder that Columbus was arrested at one point and put on trial for his horrible treatment on the people on the island of Hispaniola. Like, he was so bad to them. Even the Spanish government, which was like, go colonize stuff, was like, Jesus Christ, man.
Is everything okay at home?
Yeah, well, clearly it wasn't. And granted, he did get off, and eventually another voyage was funded by the king. But regardless, still, that's how bad it was. He went to trial at one point.
So let's fast forward a decade or century or two. The Dominican Republic fights and gains independence in 1844.
Unfortunately, much like other former colonies, the struggles for power begin, and multiple election coups and shifts in power, and now it's 1916. And the little up-and-coming country that was already in the area and is currently feeling frisky about being in the Caribbean made its way over to the Dominican Republic.
America, baby!
Hell yeah, brother!
America, still in the middle of the Haitian occupation, had a thought. ¿Por qué no los dos? And promptly occupied the Dominican Republic with the same intentions they'd had in Haiti. Bad ones. Bad ones. Bad America.
So it wasn't friendship.
If by friendship you mean take over a country, control its money, and any American interests in the area, all while making your presence known in the area, teaming up with global superpowers in the early days of a Cold War while also in the middle of ending World War I.
Well,
keep in mind, the U.S. was all around South and Central America, protecting economic interests of canal and, of all things, bananas?
Bananas?
Angel, no!
Bananas!
Angel!
The U.S. leaves the Dominican Republic after a, quote, very fair election that is won by a, quote, U.S. ally, Horacio Vazquez Lajara.
And everything worked out for the Dominican Republic. They're an economic superpower. They're doing great. They've also solved racism, and they have no issues with anyone at all.
Yeah!
Except things aren't that great.
No.
16 years after this, a coup happens, and Rafael Trujillo takes power.
Rafael Leonidas Trujillo y de Molina was born October 24th in 1891 in San Cristobal, Dominican Republic. His father, a Spanish sergeant, and his mother, a black half-French colonial. Rafael grew up very poor and he had to do what he had to do in order to survive. So, you know, crimes.
To the surprise of no one, if you mentioned that Trujillo was either poor or part black, you would literally be tortured and murdered. So, more on that later.
When the U.S. starts its occupations, Rafael gets a job of basically like a prison guard at a labor camp, but you know, for sugarcane workers. The U.S. arrives and thinks, fine, and he thinks, finally, a chance to be a real piece of shit. And he joins the National Guard with the help of his uncles. That's my Dominican accent. I will take no notes.
Because it's not bad enough that he had the worst version of being a middle manager ever, he then joins the invading army's forces to oppress his own people. He's like a Nepo baby on top of everything else. Just on top of that.
He gets training as a U.S. Marine by forging his documents, by the way.
Fantastic.
And he kisses ass on his way to the top until he becomes commander of the Dominican National Police in 1925. And then he gets promoted to Brigadier General in 1927.
And the smell of fresh butt is still on his nose. In 1928, Trujillo reconstitutes the police into an army. And he creates it as an independent armed body under his control, which is a super normal thing for a cult of personalities to do in the middle of an already existing presidency.
Nothing weird at all.
No.
Nothing super normal.
That's what I do on Tuesday.
What?
Let's not worry about it. Definitely don't tell Jen. Look, Trujillo definitely bootlicked his way up to his position, but he was also very good at being a soldier, a commander, and as we will soon see, a fascist dictator.
What's this? A coup in a former colony? In a country that's prone to revolution? Especially after a large global force occupies it, exploits it, and leaves it with weak puppet leaders? Really? There?
Yes!
Huh. All right.
A coup d'etat against President Vasquez breaks out in February 1930 in Santiago. Trujillo cuts a deal with the rebel leader. Gonna need some help on this one.
Rafael Estrella Ureña.
Thank you. Rafael eventually takes over the country, and once he gets a taste of power, he's like the Cookie Monster, but for politics.
Metaphor of the day.
Eventually, Rafael becomes the vice president of Trujillo after Trujillo won a fair election. That's in quotes because, yes it is, a few years later. Something that Rafael would agree to for getting help from Trujillo's secret police gang of military men. It's a lot of small dick energy in that sentence.
Agreed. Trujillo got 99% of the vote in an election with more votes than people on the actual island.
Just a solid start.
Mm-hmm. And if that's not bad enough, right after he gains the presidency, a fucking hurricane hits the Dominican Republic.
What is this, 2022?
They keep coming, the hits.
Yeah.
The storm basically accelerated his plans by a decade. The storm was all that Trujillo needed to enact martial law. And he just never let control for the next 30 plus years.
Butter picante.
There are no fun facts in this episode, only bummers.
Well, there is one fun fact.
Fun facts with Angel again.
Dude, what the hell?
Trujillo gave himself the moniker El Jefe.
Oh, super original.
Well, his nickname that was created by the people.
It's like a pet name?
More accurate than you'd think, actually.
Hmm. So what was it?
El Chivo. Which is Spanish for goat.
Do you want to live deliciously?
No.
Wow.
No, it wasn't like that.
They thought he was the greatest of all time?
No. No. Have you not seen a picture of this man?
No, not yet.
Okay, I'm about to fucking blow your tits off.
Holy shit. That's a goat, man.
He looks like a
That's
fucking a goat.
That dude looks like a goat. The moment El Chivo takes power, he gives a quick look at the entire...
Fucking bye.
The moment El Chivo takes power, he takes a quick look around at the entire economy of the Dominican Republic and quickly says, mine. That's for you. That's for me. That's not for my mom because I hate her. And these crappy few things over here, these whatever these are, those can go to the people, I guess. Whatever.
Okay, what?
He took control of the economy and he gave his friends and political supporters a cut. You know, a thing that has never, ever happened since.
No modern parallels aside, you keep mentioning his mom and how he hates her?
So it turns out, racism from colonizers gets super internalized. Just.
Oh, I definitely know about that one, my dude.
Yeah. So that being said, the Spanish Dominican Republic hates the Black Haitian side of the island after decades of the Spanish hating otherness.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's more to those issues, but we specifically are talking about how much El Chivo internalized that.
Just
so,
put it inside his body forever. Mm-hmm. Let it mold. Like we mentioned before, he really, really hates his Haitian side, so he changes the historical records after the fact and writes up this whole fake history about how he's from a long line of Spanish royalty. And he even went so far as to put on skin-lightening makeup.
I just like the idea of, like, the first few times he didn't know what he was doing, so he was just going full Queen Elizabeth sometimes. Just looking like a fucking mime.
Or like the early aughts makeup trend where girls just stopped their foundation in a very blunt line, like right at the chin. And it was like sort of orangey. So it was like, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Oof.
That.
Yeah. Well, now that is fucking weirdness has been, you know, talked about, back to how he was such a piece of shit ruler.
In the aftermath of the hurricane, with his entire economy in his control, he has monuments made after him, renames streets, and even renames the capital city.
Ooh, what did he call it?
Ciudad Trujillo.
Okay, very original. And what is that accent?
It's Russian. That's my Dominican accent.
Okay, fair.
I mean, what would you name a city? What would you name it?
Your mom, because everyone's in it.
CVS Beggars.
Then his cult of personality only gets worse. In August 1931, a year after he's first inaugurated, Trujillo makes his party the Dominican Party, the nation's sole legal political party. He makes the government employees donate, that's in quotes, 10% of their salaries to the national treasury, aka you give this man 10% of your paycheck. As if you needed another reason to not work for the government, am I right?
Yeah, and if you don't donate your money, you somehow disappeared. You just into the wind, just woof. Yeah, you also had to carry a little political party card with your ID. It was known as a palmita because it had a little palm on it.
Aw. This guy makes you carry a club card with you everywhere? Like a Costco membership?
Yeah, with his face on it, though. Like a fucking nerd. It makes you keep a portrait of his face in your house.
See Kim Jong-un?
Kinda.
Oh.
Yeah.
He'd also send you to jail if you didn't carry the card or if you didn't hang his lovely selfie.
Yeah, and you couldn't just have like a goat statue. That didn't count.
Aw, that's upsetting. Look, it only gets worse, and this whole episode could be about how much he sucks. And we will more than likely revisit his rule in a later episode, specifically talking about the Haitian massacre in 1837. But we should move on to the actual namesake of this episode, Las Mariposas.
Okay.
Las Hermanas Mirabal, Patria Minerva, Maria Teresa, and Dere come from a middle-class family, their family owning a farm, general store, and a coffee mill. They were actually doing pretty well, considering. They were blessed enough to go to the best boarding schools as well. It is there where Minerva started hearing stories from classmates about the realities of living under Trujillo's rule.
Trujillo regularly made people disappear and killed anybody that got in his way. His family controlled 60% of the economy as well as the newspapers, so it's easy for him to cover up anything and everything. Remember that group of soldiers that became loyal to him?
Sadly, yes.
They become his secret police. They're constantly spying for him and taking out anybody that Trujillo would not think was up to par. It wouldn't take much to get on his bad side, and that is something the entire Mirabal family would soon learn.
In 1949, the family got some of the worst news you could possibly get at the time.
Oh, no.
An invite to the party.
Oh, hell no.
Agreed. It was one of the many parties that were held by Trujillo as a means to an end. That end? Being a sexual predator to young girls.
It was also an excuse to make sure that the well-off families are loyal to the government to spend tax dollars. But yes, it's quite literally for Trujillo to be a perv and no one could stop him.
Yeah. With attendance being mandatory, the family obliges and goes to said party. And of course, Trujillo made a move on a 14-year-old Minerva.
Ugh.
Forced her to dance with him, some saying that he attempted to, quote, dance suggestively, aka fondle and molest her in public, because that's something that he could do. And of course, she denies those advances, and that led to the family leaving the party early, which was, ready for this, a big no-no.
Two things happen after that. The Mirabal family properties and businesses get confiscated by the government, and the patriarch of the family gets jailed. And second, Trujillo holds a grudge that he does not forget.
After that, Minerva, after much opposition from her parents, decides to go to law school. Her parents try to keep her away as to not get any eyes from the Trujillo government on them, but eventually they relent and allow Minerva to attend the University of Santo Domingo, where she graduates summa cum laude and is the first woman to graduate from law school in the Dominican Republic.
Hell yeah, brother.
Sister.
Hell yeah, sister.
Trujillo denies her license to practice law, though, and strips her degree of honors.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, literally, because almost a decade after it happened, she rejected his creepy ass.
In college is where Minerva really begins to shine. She meets Angel.
Sure. Manolo Tavares Justo.
Both sharing the same anti-Trujillo political convictions, and they marry in 1955. Now, Minerva's constantly detained and harassed, as she's the most radical of the sisters. But after marrying Manolo, it takes 4 years of planning to begin the revolution, where sisters Patria, Maria, Teresa, along with their spouses, join the fight.
In 1959, the June 14th movement is created in honor of the dissidents that were tortured and killed in June 14th, 1959. Sisters Patria and Maria Teresa joined the fight after both witnessing different atrocities that Trujillo had committed.
The sisters run the movement for Patria's house. Everybody in the family, even the teenagers, help. They distribute pamphlets about the atrocities of Trujillo and collect materials for the eventual armed revolt. The sisters use the codename Las Mariposas, based on the name Minerva would use in the underground clandestine meetings as they geared up for the cause.
After 6 months of work, reaching out to the entire country, uniting different rebel leaders, they planned for a meeting of all the different leaders in a group. But Trujillo and that damn secret police...
It's bad enough that they're cops, but secret cops?
Professional snitches, basically, ratted the sisters out, and Patria's home is burnt down. All the rebel leaders, along with Minerva and Maria Teresa, are jailed.
Patria, even after all that work and her house being burned down, only fights harder. She keeps the movement going and manages to get messages to the rebel leaders.
Only reason that the Mirabal sisters were not tortured, or at least not reported as tortured, is the fact that the U.S. and Catholic Church were both like, hey man, the fuck is going on over there?
You know it's bad when the U.S. and the Catholic Church team up. Yeah. Like the fucking super friends. America's probably more like, oh, geez. Aw, how did any of this happen? How did this happen? Oh, someone should stop it, probably. Probably.
We gotta find the guy who did it in a hot dog suit. That's what they did.
He's over there. Oh no, that's just a banana. The sisters are freed, but their husbands, who are also revolutionary leaders, stayed in jail.
Throughout the rest of the year, they continue to radicalize and spread the word of the cause and regularly visiting their partners in jail. But on November 25th, 1960, on the way back from a visit to their husbands, their driver and their sisters are stopped in the middle of the road, separated, beaten, and asphyxiated to death by Trujillo's secret police. They place them back in the car and topple it over a cliff. Patria was 36, Minerva was 33, and Maria Teresa was 25. The Trujillo secret police tried to play it off as a car accident, reporting that to the press, but at this point, no one in that country bought Trujillo's lies anymore.
The U.S., severely condemning this, or perhaps just trying to clean up a mess they made, decide to start investing in anti-Trujillo movements in the country.
Wait, so the U.S. invaded a Latin country for good reasons?
Good is relative for the U.S. and their destabilizing of countries, of course. Sure, let's just give them this one. The CIA definitely gives money and weapons to the anti-Trujillo movements. A decade later, a now declassified memorandum states,
quite extensive agency involvement with the plotters. The CIA described its role in changing the government of the Dominican Republic as a success, in that it assisted in moving the Dominican Republic from a totalitarian dictatorship to a Western-style democracy.
Beautifully said in your mid-Atlantic accent.
Thank you.
On May 30th, 1961, Trujillo is murdered as he ambushed as he is ambushed outside of the capital by a group of rebels being led by some of his closest allies he did wrong, bringing a 31-year reign of terror to an end.
Does that smell like karma? In the present time, the Mirabal sisters are national heroes, martyrs to many. Dede, the surviving sister, dedicates her life to the memory of her sisters and makes sure to have their legacy known. She raises the 6 children left by Las Mariposas, many of them holding office in the Dominican Republic. She opens the Mirabal Sisters Museum and publishes a memoir of their lives together. She eventually passes away in 2014.
In 1999, the UN declares International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women in honor of the anniversary of the Mirabal Sisters' deaths. The Mirabal sisters' story is actually widely known throughout the world, thanks in part to the novel In the Time of Butterflies, a fictionalized version of the story that was also adapted into film.
And on that note, that's the episode.
That's the episode.
A special thanks to you, our favorite listener. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. A rate and review would be dope. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that'd be that'd be great. You can also follow us on socials. I'm at Gorilla Jokes.
And I'm at It's Nash Flynn.
You can follow the podcast where we drop incredibly specific memes and unhinged selfies at Death and Friends Podcast.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Would you like to live deliciously? Join the show's Patreon. We use it to cover our sound guy's medical bills. In order to properly write medical facts, we expose Dom to all the illnesses and ways to die we talk about on the show.
What did we do this week?
We made him eat the butterflies.
All right, speaking of Patreon, it's time to honor a member at the Brandon Fraser level.
Fraser, no.
Praise be Carly Bird.
And praise be Brendan
Fraser.
So check it out at patreon.com/deathandfriends. For more information, visit deathandfriends.org. Join us as we make the entire internet worse.
All right, y'all. Today was a more slightly serious episode, and there was a lot of death happening, and death is tricky to talk about, so please remember this very important thing. You hear about this? You are loved. You matter. And if you don't want to be your own friend, we will happily be your friend.
Yes.
Until next time, Skeleton Army, stay spooky. Love you.
Love you.
This has been a Knavery Inc. podcast. Go to knaveryinc.com for more details. Executive produced by Jacob Duffy Halbleib. Audio design by Dominic Guanzon. Themes and transitions by Amy Doe.
The fuck is a knave?
Hell yeah, brother.
You actually say hell yeah, brother a few times in this episode, I
think. Damn it. Wait, no, that's actually fine. I don't think I can do it, though. Hell yeah. No.
No, the way you say it unironically is so funny. Because you say it earnestly sometimes, and it's the funniest thing in the world.
Now I'm learning that everyone is laughing at me and not with me.
That's the secret cap we always have been.
Everything hurts, Mr. Stark.
Death?
The Dominican Republic. You hear about this? The Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Dominican Republic. Republic? Dominican.
Don't. Okay. How many times are you going to say that?
As many times as I want. You hear about this?
Death?
Thank you for mansplaining jokes to me.
Someday I want the sound by don't mansplain jokes to me just for my like ringtone.
Every time Angel calls you, it's like, don't mansplain.
Let's turn it into like a little fucking bit and I'll just send it as well.
Bing, 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 bing. Don't mansplain jokes to me. Right.
To the surprise
don't
of...
man. Don't man.
Yes.
Don't mansplain jokes to me. Jokes to me. Let's go.
Death?
Why won't these words? I don't know if that's going to help. I'm going to try. Definitely bootlicked his way up to his position, but he was also.
Definitely bootlicked his way up into his.
I think we should replace me on this podcast.
Death?
What is this? What is this word?
Oh, I think it's a coup.
No.
Cop these tits.
Cop these tits. Yeah.
No, that's not right.
I feel like it's French.
Coup. Well, we did say the first part a lot this episode already, so it's coup.
Yeah. That's how you say it, right?
Coup de ton. Coup de tat. There's lines in places where they shouldn't be.
Yeah. And that's saying something, because there are a lot of lines on this page.
A coup de... A coup de ton.
Coup de bucket.
Jesus Christ. This is a omelette coup fromage. Thank you very much, everybody.
Woo! Just kidding, you guys. We know how to say this word. It's obviously copies, just we had it right the first time.
Death?
Rafael Estrella Urena. No?
He just said his last name was piss.
Cool.
You call this man Raphael Starkus.
That's, I mean, is that not his name?
No. Okay.
Death?